Coming up this week on the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast, Universal Studios Hollywood brings a new Jurassic Park meet and greet to the lower lot. SeaWorld, Knott's Berry Farm, and Disneyland announced their 4th of July offerings and sweet summer specials. And Six Flags Magic Mountain was voted the number one theme park in the country, according to the readers of USA Today. Plus, a little bit later on, you thought we were kidding, but we're going to give you the rundown on our favorite hidden theme park bathrooms. It's a salute to all nations, but mostly America. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast for the week of July 2nd, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for helping plan your next vacation getaway for any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris-Milano. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from Universal Studios Hollywood, SeaWorld San Diego, Knott's Berry Farm, the Disneyland Resort, and more, all brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, and this week I am joined by YouTube sensation and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strautman. Hello again, Brandis.
Hello.
Alternate John and contributor, John Strautman. Hey, John.
Hello.
And author, historian, poet warlord, Dr. David Marley. David, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, welcome back again. This, of course, is our main entrance segment. This is just our sort of introduction to the show. So you just went on a trip, didn't you, to the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, my wife and I went up for our 20th wedding anniversary.
Yeah,
went
that's awesome.
Portland and Seattle and had a great time.
Yeah, you took a little road trip and...
Yeah, hit a lot of tiki bars and bookstores.
Yeah, I had a tiki bar last night.
Nice.
Yeah, my insurance won't pay for it. Sorry.
I'm ashamed you got me to laugh at that. I'm ashamed.
Yeah, we went to...
It's just a polite laugh.
Yeah, and if you follow our Instagram and our Facebook page, David and I actually passed each other like ships in the night up in the Central Valley, California.
Beautiful Santanella.
Yeah, Santanella at the P. Soup Anderson's, right? So yeah, we're text messaging each other. David had just left and we were out on the road for about an hour or so. And then you asked me if we were still in Santanella.
A week later,
I said, no, we've been home since Monday.
Deb was driving and I was bored. I'm like, I'm going to text Chris. That'll be funny.
You still get it? No. So, okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for filling in today. I just wanted to make a quick, kind of personnel announcement. Associate producer John's got some business to take care of. So he's going to be off the show for a couple of weeks. He will be back to join us, but, we're going to rotate our fourth seat in here. Today we've got David, we're going to bring in Aaron, hopefully Karen will come back, and so don't worry, John will be back. He's just a little busy right now, and we are all busy, and sorry we missed the show last week. It's summertime and we've all got our vacations going on, and Brandis and John and I took a fun trip to Disneyland, didn't we?
Yeah, it took our six-year-old.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit, I mean, because we obviously went a couple of weeks before that, just the three of us, for your wedding anniversary. I got to tag along on your wedding anniversary trip. But what do you think about, how does traveling with, you know, your six-year-old, and you have an 11-year-old.
Yes, okay. We have an 11-year-old as well and a 20-year-old. 20-year-old was angry we didn't bring her Tuesday. But
right. We also invited her to come down, and then she's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, I could say whatever I want. She won't listen to this. No, it's...
She's too cool, that's why.
Yeah, they never... I swear she's 20, but she still hasn't grown up in the sense of, like, she wants to be invited but does not want to go. Like, she just wants the drama of getting her feelings hurt.
Oh, yeah, no, that sounds... yeah.
But as for the other two kids, it's... I mean, each one's different, but mainly they get tired before we do. We want to stay for the fireworks, yet we never have been able to. Especially Samuel, but there's other ones, like... You have to feed them more often than you would feed yourself. So you can't spend as much on beer.
Yeah, you can't exactly. I mean, you know, with us, it's easy to just kind of go and go and go and not stop and say, I'm going to skip lunch and I'm going to have a couple beers and it's going to be fine. But
to redeem ourselves and make ourselves seem like good parents, it's also good to see it through their eyes. I mean, you know.
You don't want to. There was a meme out that I saw a couple of days ago, as well as e-cards, and it said, yes, I'm going. It was for Walt Disney World. Yes, I'm going to Disney World. No, I don't have kids. Yes, I'm adult. Thanks for questioning. Thanks for asking. Next question, please. So, yeah, it's fun to go. It was fun to see.
It was cool to go with you, the three of us as adult. That's the only time we've ever really done that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Gone to Disneyland without kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a whole new world.
It's a different experience.
Well, it's nice because, with kids, like, everyone has an opinion on what ride they want to go on, but not everybody wants to go on that ride. So you have to work it out of, like, okay, who's going to go with who on this ride, and where are we going to wait, and what are we going to do while we're waiting? So going with just adults.
And Chris was very kind to let us pick.
Oh, yeah.
He was really he was just like, you pick. So
I get to go a lot. So
yeah.
I bet the best ride though go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, going as adults, you don't have to rush to the ride. You could skip the ride if the line's too long. You could sit down and enjoy your food or a beer without, problems. And
I think I told John because I have an annual pass, obviously, and I was a cast member for a very long time. So it's not like I've had a lack of going to any theme park, really. And I told John when we were there with your son, with Samuel, do you know how long it's been since I've waited in a long line longer than 15 minutes in the park? I said, usually, the way I go to the parks, my friends and my wife and I go to the park, we'll go and we'll eat and we'll sit down and we'll, have a drink, or we'll have a soda, or we'll just sit and people watch and we'll think about going on a ride. And then we'll see that, it's a half hour for Pirates of the Caribbean. I ain't going on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm that way at Knott's. Like, I refuse.
We will sometimes go to Knott's, walk past all the rides, see all the lines, and turn around and go home.
Yep. It's nice. It's definitely nice. But speaking of crowds, we got to see Pixar Pier. Right?
Yeah, the crowds at Pixar Pier, big time.
The crowds were amazing. So we were actually very lucky. We got to California Adventure right as soon as it opened, and we went on the Incredicoaster. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was cool. The line went quick. That was surprising.
Yeah, so it was posted a 50-minute wait, and the line, I think we saw that we waited less than a half hour. By the time we got out of the line for the Incredicoaster, it was...
Oh, it was out the,
it was out it the was door.
Down the pier.
You guys were waiting for us.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing. Where we were waiting, there was an ice cream shop. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it's the Abominable, Adorable Snowman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that line was insane. And so Samuel and I are just trying to sit in the only shade we could find. And the line reached all the way back to us, and people kept asking us if we're in line. And I was not giving up our
shaded seat.
Wow.
It was just the lines were crazy.
Well, and the line went out of the Incredicoaster. So it was that, by the way, they spent millions of dollars on this thing and still can't, you're still standing in the blazing sun. They couldn't enclose the attraction queue. That was a little frustrating.
Nice.
But it went out of the entrance of the Incredicoaster, and then it went up the boardwalk towards the old Cove Bar, and switched back several times. And it was like an hour, almost 2 hours long by the time we got out.
Yeah, we got
out. We only waited for 25 minutes, but that place is, I didn't think it was going to be very popular. And apparently it's just, people love the characters, and it's insanity.
So what is the difference in the Incredicoaster? What changes did they make?
So have you seen Incredibles 2?
Not yet.
Okay. So
this
it's fun. And it's, Incredibles 2. So there's a whole storyline now. There's a storyline with Jack-Jack, and it follows the Incredibles 2 storyline very closely. They changed the front. It looks like the house in Incredibles 2. It's got that
70s decor.
Yeah, mid-century modern style to it. And it looks really cool. Then once you walk in past that, it's got some things about the Incredibles family. And again, it's that same kind of concrete queue. They put more shade. It's a little bit nicer. And then once you get on, they got rid of Neil Patrick Harris, and it's, you're looking for Jack-Jack. And so the tunnels that are there, they kind of painted them red, and there's like some static figures and some lighting effects, and now there's literally, it's a storyline, and it's Edna Mode talking to you, who's my favorite Disney character.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, and Incredibles 2 is, I've determined, is my new favorite Pixar movie. It was Wall-E. And so,
what is yours, David?
Mine's The Incredibles.
The Incredibles.
Okay.
The first
so,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like The Incredibles, you'll like, there's a lot of fun callbacks to this one.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then I love the music. And then the music score, was playing cool the entire time. And, there's some cool little things in there. I wish they would have done, there's a lot of static figures, just not moving figures. Pixar. So I wish they would have done a little bit more, but I mean, it's fun. It's fun. Okay. Pixar Pier was really interesting. I was talking to a friend of ours who was telling me that some of the lights aren't quite ready. Some of the big lighting effects are supposed to be a Luxo lamp on top of the Pixar Pier sign. So a lot of that stuff isn't ready. They got it rushed out and they're done with it, but they're not quite done with it.
Okay.
So we'll see what's going on. All right. We're going to tell you something a little bit coming up now about the life of the Downtown Disney parking lot, because coming up next in Main Entrance, the Downtown Disney parking lot is going to be closed starting Monday. This summer, the Disneyland Resort will begin construction on its fourth resort hotel. In order for these projects to take place, beginning Monday, July 9th, the Downtown Disney parking lot off Magic Way will be closed. Beginning July 9th, Downtown Disney guests will use the Simba parking lot located at Disneyland Drive and Downtown Drive adjacent to the Paradise Pier Hotel. So if you're reading this or you're looking at this and you're saying, how do I get to Downtown Disney? Well, if you're approaching south from Disneyland Drive, you're going to turn right at the second traffic signal, just past Magic Way. So you're going to go past the Paradise Pier Hotel, and you're going to turn right into the parking lot there. If you're approaching north from Catella or Disneyland Drive, you're going to turn left at that first signal. So this is just an existing parking lot that's always been there for Downtown Disney overflow, and now it's going to be the primary lot until they can figure out what in the world is going to go on with the rest of that area. We also have a World of Color update. Would you guys like to know what's going on with World of Color?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Yeah, it ain't coming back till after Christmas. You know, if you listen to our previous show, there was an incident with one of the tables that comes up to display some of the lights, and that table sank with the server room door open and damaged all of the servers and all of the electronics.
And that's bad, right?
And that is super bad.
The electronics getting wet.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah. Several million dollars. Well, according to our sources, they are still tabulating the final cost of this.
Somebody's working at Knott's now.
Well, it was a manager that had, the cast members, the tech cast members had been telling them that they wanted to have somebody staff there because they noticed problems with the floaters and they didn't want to staff it over a holiday weekend to keep an eye on it. So they came back Monday, and the person that I know told me about this, it's akin to parking your submarine off the coast, leaving the screen door open, coming in Monday, or leaving the hatch open, coming back Monday, and then realizing the submarine's now sink. So they had originally estimated a 6-week lead time for the new fabrication of parts. That's now turned into 24 weeks lead time. And so this thing ain't coming back till after Christmas, and they've already begun refunding all of the dinner packages that were associated with World of Color for the summer. They were really hoping to have it back by at least the fall. It ain't coming back, and they were estimating anywhere between $6 to $10 million when it first happened. Still crunching the numbers, you know, in the back, because they don't know how much this is going to cost them, and it's not like they can. It's not like they can not fix the show. They have to fix it.
There's some behind the scene vendors though that are really happy.
I'm sure. Yeah, because Disney, in their infinite wisdom, doesn't keep a spare part of anything in their proprietary shows. So they manufacture one of these for their shows to save costs. Well, when something goes wrong, they then have to remanufacture it on a rush job. And so whoever's manufacturing their equipment for this show is clearly going to look forward to a payday.
That's a lot of money. That's like a week of Bob Iger's salary right
there. They could like really up the cost on that at this point.
Well, they can charge whatever they want.
Yeah.
Because they've got to get it, and they've got to get it now. But again, it's gone from a 6-week lead time to a 24-week lead time, and well, we'll see you, World of Color. We'll see you at Christmas time. Next one for Main Entrance. Did you guys get a chance to go to Knott's on Saturday?
No.
Yeah, you guys were going to go try. So we have a story about the summer offerings, and I know you guys were
going to try the new drink. Yeah, I wanted to try the new mango chamoy drink, but our son just got home from summer camp. And
that's good, because your other son really missed him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. God. So glad to have him back just for that alone. I mean, I missed him too, but that one right there it really affected our youngest son. But yeah, so he came home, so we all went to dinner, and it took us a lot longer than expected. So we just skipped Knott's last night.
Speaking of Knott's, you guys know it's National Fried Chicken Day on Friday?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Did you see the ridiculous offer?
Is it, was it, which, no, I saw many ridiculous offers. Which one are you talking about specifically?
So for National Fried Chicken Day, you could get 10% off on Knott's, Mrs. Knott's chicken meal. Only 10%, but only between.
It's like 11 and 2.
Yeah, it's worse than that. It's like, they totally skip lunchtime and dinner time. So it's like, yeah, it's like 11 to 2. So maybe lunchtime is covered, but then it shuts off and then starts again from 8 to 11.
Oh, weird. I only saw the 11 to 2 part. I didn't see the.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah. And so 10% isn't much of a discount, but if you're a pass holder, it goes up to 30%. So yes, that's great.
Kind of cool. Okay.
But I mean, who?
Yeah, for 10%,
they totally cut off the prime time that people are going to want to eat chicken. So yeah. Even if it's only 10% off.
But if you're there during, if you're there in the parks and you're here for a couple of days and you want to go down, if you're looking for a spot for lunch that's not fast food and you want to go out, we used to do that all the time when I was growing up. We used to leave the park, we used to leave Knott's and go outside to Mrs. Knott's and have, fried chicken in the afternoon. So
yes, I hated doing that as a kid.
Did you really? I used to love it. We used to have breakfast there and then we'd leave and go have lunch there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that was always a lot of fun, but we'll talk more about those drink offerings and hopefully sometime in the near future, you can try them and
yeah,
we can
probably
go today. Huh? Back no, and- we can't go today. Can we?
No. Well, can we?
We
no.
Can.
No.
Yeah. We can.
So
we'll try it by next show.
All right. Well, so hopefully we'll have that there. And, I want to go back to really quickly to Pixar Pier talking about lions. Last night, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you'll also notice that I tried the, what's referred to, you guys haven't seen The Incredibles 2, right?
No.
Okay. So nobody here says, I'm the only one who's seen it. In there's a whole scene with the, Jack-Jack, the little baby, disappears and Bob, Mr. Incredible, has to lure him back with what he calls cookie num-nums.
Oh, I saw your post on that. And yeah. I remember seeing people in the line for Incredicoaster.
It is ridiculous. We waited 45 minutes for the, and they're wonderful. They're fantastic. They're delicious. We waited 45 minutes for these cookie things. They take a cookie and it's like
I saw the picture on your Instagram.
Yeah. They take a cookie, like almost like a cookie pie, and they run it through essentially a churro machine, and they warm it up, and they have different offerings, but it goes really slowly. And we stayed in the park a little bit later than closing because we had gotten dinner at Flo's, and we had specifically gone for the Jack-Jack cookie num-nums, and that's my other favorite part of the coaster. I don't want to ruin any surprises, but there is a part where they blast you with the scent of this cookie. And then you get
is so smart.
And then you get off the ride and this cookie stand is now set up essentially at the exit of
it's like they planned
Incredicoaster.
Yeah.
But you know where the exit of Incredicoaster is? Uh-huh. The line for the cookies went all the way back to where the bathrooms are. By Midway Mania.
Oh wow! Oh yeah. Wow!
And so we waited in line for, and they're good. They're delicious. Don't get me wrong.
Seems like for 45-minute wait, you could make your own.
You really could. I mean, I don't. They might have a problem with you baking right there in the middle of. I mean.
Well, you could go home and make your own.
No, you don't want to leave the park.
Yeah. No.
Spend money.
Parking's crazy.
Don't they do that in the Disneyland where they on Main Street they pump out smells of like ice cream
and
stuff, right?
Yeah.
Vanilla and then cinnamon. Depends on the time of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. We were at South Coast Plaza, breakaway from Disneyland, but just pumping in smells. We were at South Coast Plaza the other day, and when we crossed into the...
South Coast Plaza is the super fancy mall here in Southern California.
Yeah, so we passed over from the Sephora Forever 21 side up
my favorite
to
stores.
They're pumping perfume in.
That reminds me of Abercrombie. You guys ever walk by an Abercrombie?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, that one smells like douches at a club.
So... So we're going to move on. We're going to go right into our next segment, which of course is park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour.
Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Welcome, one and all. Y'all. Very fine, riding on the old Knott's Berry Line.
Copying is our news segment, and for our very first story, Universal Studios is bringing a new meet and greet to the lower lot, and here's Brandis to tell us all about it. Brandis.
Okay, well, this story breaks my heart.
Oh.
Just the last sentence really breaks my heart, but okay. Blue, one of the most popular dinosaurs from Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment's blockbuster Jurassic Park World franchise, is now part of the Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Orlando's resort's exciting raptor encounter experiences, inviting guests to brave the dangerous predator in daring face-to-face standoffs. The lifelike creature is beloved Velociraptor from Jurassic World and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and was brought to life for the raptor encounter. Employing the exact computer-generated model and images used to create her for the big screen. Blue is the newest addition to the raptor encounter, allowing guests to come face-to-face with the clever carnivore. Velociraptors are intelligent and formidable hunters, and theme park guests are advised to approach them with caution. With their intimidating eye contact and ear-piercing screeches that reinforce predatory dominance, each raptor bears 56 razor-sharp, bone-crushing teeth and lunges forward with curved talons that extend up to 12 inches from their 18-inch-long feet. Towering 12 feet in height and 15 feet from tail to snout, the aggressive carnivores will each succumb to highly skilled handlers who adeptly guide them to within feet of guests. Universal Studios Hollywood recently announced its Countdown to Extinction of Jurassic Park The Ride campaign, designed to pay homage to the thrill ride that closes on September 3rd to make way for the all-new Jurassic World ride, a technologically advanced epic adventure inspired by Universal's blockbuster film franchise opening in 2019. This is where I get sad. In 1996, Universal Studios Hollywood redefined theme park thrill rides with the unprecedented introduction of Jurassic Park The Ride, based on three-time Academy Award winner Steven Spielberg's epic film. The ride featured newly debuted principles of hydraulic physics, mechanics, and space-age robotics. Working in partnership with scientists, paleontologists, and aerospace engineers, Universal Creative, the team that develops Universal Theme Park rides, brought to life one of the most compelling rides ever created. Life-size and lifelike animatronic dinosaurs, some towering more than five stories high, freely roam the earth at Universal Studios Hollywood. 22 years later, Jurassic Park The Ride will become extinct in preparation for a new, next-generation experience that's even more immersive and technologically advanced. I'm sad.
Yeah, me too. Although I think that one is not quite right. I think 1996 was the... I know it says 1996. I think that was Orlando, Florida. Because I think that the Jurassic Park ride here opened before the movie did. It was, they actually worked in partnership with Spielberg, and that's why it's a river ride, because there's a whole river sequence in the original book and
the book
was
planned
for the film, and it just that never happened. So they were working with the filmmakers at the time, but yeah, that makes me sad. I mean, not the main story, but the whole.
That's my favorite ride there. As a huge Harry Potter fan,
yeah,
that is my favorite ride at Universal Studios. That,
like, John, how do you feel about Harry Potter?
It's great.
Sorry.
No, it's just, it's one of those ones, like, you could never reread the Harry Potter books. Like, you can reread them, but you don't get the same experience. It's the same with that ride. The first time you go on it is so amazing. Yeah. You can never get that experience, but.
And I'm wondering how long it's going to be closed for, because there's not much, I mean, there aren't many rides in that park to begin with. I know that there.
Yeah, but that's actually my favorite part about that park, or my favorite part about that park. And the alcohol.
The constant stream of booze. We talked about that at Disneyland. Just that there's a bar in every corner at Universal Studios. You can walk around with
it. And it's cheaper than.
Tall boy of Miller Lite.
Yeah.
But,
your Duff Beer or Duff Light.
Yeah. David, when was the last time you were at Universal Studios Hollywood?
Honey, when was the last time I was at Universal Studios? I think Bill Clinton was president. It's been a while.
Oh.
It's been a long, my daughters have been, and I wanted to take them, but it's been a long time.
Yeah. So you guys, he was not referring to us as honey. David's wife is actually.
No,
here.
Yes.
She's
yes.
joining us in the studio.
It's been
studio.
How long? A long time? It's been, before the close. Okay. So, yeah. So we're talking like 15 years or more.
So yeah.
Go on the ride before it closes.
All right. Yeah. That wasn't there last time I was there.
Okay, so I wanted to talk, like, you can't usually talk about that ride because there's a surprise in that ride that makes it so awesome. And so I was going to talk about it since it's closing now, but if he's going to make it before it closes, I can't talk about it.
I don't know.
He probably won't make it.
Okay.
Well, don't talk about it.
It's closing.
You got to say spoiler alert.
Okay, spoiler alert. If you haven't ridden the ride and you're not going to...
You haven't ridden the ride in the last 20 years.
And you're going to ride it before... I mean, I've lost friends over spoilers. We just had a conversation about that.
So here you go.
Are they really going to make changes to it, or are they just going to paint a couple things red and say, chasing Jack.
And that's that was the same.
That was, you know, I feel bad for other theme parks because like Knott's did that huge new roller coaster with the big dive and they do a huge promotion.
John's been on that. Yeah.
Right? All that stuff. Disney's like, hey, we painted a roller coaster red. Parts of it. And people are like, oh my God, it's red now. And
it just, did anybody see the lines to get into the new Toy Story Land, which is in Florida? The people were waiting hours for
that's essentially Toy Story.
What a good friend of ours was is an Imagineer, was working on that project for years. Yeah. And it sounded really I do like the Toy Story movies.
Yeah.
But it sounded fantastic. Like, I want to go check it out.
But yeah, so I mean, aside the Jurassic, getting back to the main topic, the Jurassic Park ride, I think what they're doing is, my fear is that they're putting screens in, because everything in Universal Studios nowadays it's a screen.
That's what my girl said.
Yeah.
And I've heard from other people, you go from one headset ride to another headset ride.
Yeah. And it's there's no physical effects. Disney so far has mostly resisted the urge to do that, although they're starting to kind of go that way, because I understand it's a cheaper way of doing things, but my fear is that they're going to take these cool practical effects, like the Jeep falling off the side, you know, the different things that pop up without saying too much what they are, but
I've lost friends over spoilers, but like you pointed out, it's been open for 20 years.
Yeah. It's like people that haven't seen the Avengers and you tell them what happens and they get really angry and it's like, dude, it's been out for a month. So the other point. So have you guys ever seen one of these Raptor encounters? They're actually really cool.
I like the marionette type. I saw it. It didn't pique my interest because I just love that ride. Like,
right. Yeah. You just want to go ride.
Wait, it's a marionette?
It looks lifelike, but it's very obviously puppets.
Yeah. It's a life size puppet. The one
like Jim Henson?
Yeah. Puppets. Yeah.
I interviewed a skipper for Skipper Stories 2 that did that.
Oh, really?
He said, I'm a raptor handler. I'm like, oh, what does that mean? He's like, oh, you got to come to the park and see him. A raptor. And he just kept saying raptor handler. I'm like, okay. He's a raptor. I'm just assuming he's.
That's like when you're friends with Snow White.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned it. David is the author of Skipper Stories, which is a collection of stories, and it's a book. You're writing a second one.
Available on Amazon right now. Yeah. Go buy it. Listen to this podcast, then go buy it in that order.
And it's a collection of stories by Jungle Cruise skippers.
Yeah. Decades worth of skippers and their wild tales. And the sequel's coming out for this Christmas.
And it is available on Amazon. It makes a great Christmas gift. David's available for signings. Okay. So anything more about the Raptor thing? Does anybody care?
Well, I still wanted to talk about the spoiler on the
ride. No, we're going
to
move on.
No spoilers.
Wait, are they adding the actors from this, the new part?
Yeah, I think part of it is they're going to, they, I don't know if they're going to put a Chris Pratt animatroniker in there, but.
Oh, for sure.
I think they're definitely going to add, you know, the three Raptors, and they're going to, the Indomitable Rexosaurus or whatever it's called. So,
you know, that makes him in, if they do that, which more than like, I guarantee they will, he's in two parks. He's in.
Yeah, he will be, yeah. He'll be in Guardians of the Galaxy. Right. And,
good to see he's getting work.
Brandis, what's your spoiler?
Oh, okay. So the best part of the ride is, so the ride starts off all slow. It's, you know, you're in a boat and you're seeing all these dinosaurs that escaped. And then it starts getting kind of intense where like they get in and cause like all this damage and stuff. And then right at this one point, the Tyrannosaurus Rex bursts through the ceiling, scares the heck out of you. And you're screaming from how much that scared you when suddenly you're dropping.
They show that on commercial.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought
they still have commercials for it? I never saw a commercial for it.
I haven't been there since it's been going, but I've seen, I knew that.
So it's not a spoiler because most people get mad when I talk about it. So, you know, the whole best part is though, because you don't expect it. The Tyrannosaurus Rex scares you and you're screaming. And before you stop screaming, you're screaming from the drop. So it's this really elongated scream.
And that's the big difference between the one here and the one in Orlando, is that the one in Orlando is just out. It's just out there. There's no surprise. It does, like, this one comes from behind a giant, like, curtain of, like, a giant curtain of water will part and the thing pops out. And the one in Orlando is just kind of well lit in there, so you see it coming from.
Oh yeah, so for this one, I end the ride every year with a sore throat
from
because you don't stop screaming,
and then you're able to go and grab a beer and it's
and soothe my throat, or maybe
they
a whiskey.
They pump the smell of beer through the ride when you get off the attraction. There's beer right there being sold.
Circle.
They just hand it to you as you get off each ride there.
Circle.
I feel like they pump the smell of Harry Potter in that place probably too.
That'd be the three broomsticks.
Oh, okay.
All right. Moving on to our next story, Summertime at the Parks.
We've also got a big musical finale from Sam Eagle. Sam, what's it about?
It's called A Salute to All Nations, mm-hmm. but mostly America.
Great.
And I'm going to handle this one. All of the area theme parks have announced their plans for the 4th of July. We are recording this on Sunday the 2nd. So you have Sunday the... What's today? The first. So we're recording this on Sunday the 1st. So by the time this comes out tomorrow, Monday, you will have a couple of days if you have not made plans yet to go anywhere for the 4th of July. Here is a little bit about what's coming up for the 4th of July. And then as sick as it may seem, we are also talking about the end of summer. So there are a couple of things. David, didn't you see an advertisement for back to school shopping the day after your kids got out?
Literally the day after they got out of school at Staples.
Relax, Staples.
People need to stop.
Well, it's because they're trying to change our school schedule. So that is going to be like most people are on a different schedule. So our back to school shopping will be in July soon.
Yeah, but not middle of June. That is just wrong. That is wrong.
Nope, I refuse to accept that.
There should be laws.
It's like impending doom.
For the 4th of July, on July 4th, the Disneyland Resort is celebrating the Stars and Stripes by welcoming the first Marine Band based out of Camp Pendleton and participating in local parades in Anaheim and Huntington Beach. Organized in World War II as the first Marine Division Band consists of 50 Marine musicians and preserves our country's strength and character, whether performing music or serving in a combat zone. The 1st Marine Division will participate in the daily flag retreat ceremony at Disneyland Park, followed by a pre-parade performance from Town Square to It's a Small World before the 6 p.m. showing of the Pixar Play Parade. At 7 p.m., the band will perform a special concert at the Fantasyland Theater, which is better than what usually happens in the Fantasyland Theater. Anybody seen Mickey the Magical Map? I didn't think so. Guests can wrap up their 4th of July celebration with a special patriotic finale after Together Forever, a Pixar nighttime spectacular. Let freedom ring at the Disneyland Resort or in the community with Disney friends, and you'll be participating again, I said, at the Huntington Beach and Anaheim 4th of July celebration. The parade in Huntington Beach will be broadcast live locally on ABC7 beginning at 10 a.m. Now, David, I'll ask you, did you know that Anaheim did a 4th of July parade? I know Huntington Beach is the famous parade, but
I didn't know Anaheim did one.
We know that Anaheim does the Halloween parade.
Yeah, the Halloween parade in Anaheim is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. Knott's Berry Farm will be celebrating the 4th of July with Knott's Berry Farm's Fireworks Spectacular. July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The Knott's Fireworks Extravaganza takes place at 9:30 p.m. and is best viewed from the Knott's Boardwalk. That's one of the things that always kind of gets me at Knott's Berry Farm as opposed to Disneyland is or any other theme park, really. Like with Disneyland, you can see the fireworks from basically anywhere in the park. If there's an open spot of sky, other theme parks, as we'll get to SeaWorld, there's very specific spots where you can only see the fireworks, and I don't know, that always just...
I bet the line to get on Sky Cabin is super long.
I wonder if they even run it during that time.
They probably do. You know what they should do if they really want to milk their customer base is charge for the Sky Cabin during the fireworks show.
Don't give them ideas. Yes. Well, who do you work for? Which side are you on?
You can also reserve the best seats for firework viewings. At SeaWorld, SeaWorld is going to be celebrating the 4th of July from the 4th to the 8th with their live music at the Red, White, and Brews Beer Garden. From SeaWorld says, don't miss the fun and excitement happening at SeaWorld's Red, White, and Brews Beer Garden next to the SeaWorld store, where you can enjoy craft beer, food, and live music daily from July 4th through the 8th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Feel the energy generated by talented performers. You guys ready for this? Such as Angela Muizzi.
No way. Live?
Right.
All right.
Bailey Thompson. All right. Jessica Lerner. Maharasi Hanna. Melanie Pfeifferman.
Don't act like you don't know.
Natalie O'Brien and Sophie Ray.
Okay, who?
Let's check. Deb, are any of those people famous?
Okay, yeah. Good. I thought it was just me.
Maybe my kids would know them, but
that's fantastic. Okay. I feel like the dad watching the MTV Music Awards right now. I did, and apparently none of us know who these people are. So
those are like not even D-list people.
Yeah, who knows? Artist dates and times are subject to change. You can also watch SeaWorld Light of the Sky with its Sea to Shining Sea fireworks displays. The schedule is as follows. On the 4th of July, Wednesday, July 4th through Saturday, July 7th, Labor Day weekend, Saturday, September 1st through Monday, September 3rd. The show lasts approximately 6 minutes, and the times have not yet been announced yet. Like I said, you can reserve the best seats for fireworks at SeaWorld.com San Diego. Purchase the premium seating for the Orca and Sea Lion Amphitheater for $25, which comes with a souvenir glow item, or you can purchase regular seating for $10. Explore. Dave, do you want to see it?
I was just saying, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
so 25. But they think like I do.
Right.
They sit in the parking lot for free.
Yeah, you can.
That's what we did as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You're sitting between the Esplanade, between California Adventure and Disneyland.
Yep.
With your lawn chairs. So, anybody fireworks? We talked about plans. Has anybody ever been? I used to love going to Disneyland for the 4th of July back before I was married and single and didn't have anybody to love me. But, I used to love going
there. The fireworks loved you.
Yeah, the fireworks loved
Disneyland
me.
Disneyland loved you.
We had this thing we used to do for 4th of July. It was at the Air Force Base in Los Alamitos. But they made changes to it that made it not as enjoyable. So we no longer go there. But we used to go to Knott's Berry Farm for, what's it called? In the morning we'd go and see the... You're just being a jerk on purpose, John. Say what it is.
I don't know what you're talking about. Fireworks or
no,
what?
Not the fireworks. The
Ghost Town Alive?
No, the building outside.
The building outside.
You're just being a jerk on purpose.
I swear to God, I don't know what you're talking about.
The one, it's like you could go see the Declaration of Independence.
Independence Hall.
Thank you. You knew what it was. You're just being a jerk. So no, we'd go to Independence Hall beforehand and then go, you know. So
my friend lives a few miles away and he has a big 4th of July party every year. So we'll do the street fireworks and then we'll watch the Knott's Berry Farm fireworks. But
go to Independence Hall.
The place to go is Costa Mesa, California, because it's where we live and there are illegal fireworks everywhere. A guy two blocks away from us, he must spend thousands of dollars at Indian reservations.
Yeah, I really do.
And then the helicopter comes
that.
And everybody leaves and the helicopter leaves and then we all there. My cats hate it, but it's wonderful.
So we really do enjoy that until it gets to be September and it's still going on.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of days ago, we heard our first illegal firework in our, I live yeah. in, yeah, I live.
That's America, man, right there.
45 minutes, you know, to the east of here. And, we heard our first illegal firework. So
last summer we had, we were being tormented every night between like midnight and 4 a.m. There'd be illegal fireworks going off and, you know, scares the heck out of you when you're sleeping.
But it's awesome when you're in your 20s, don't you remember?
Yeah. All right, continuing with our summer fun in the theme parks, Knott's Berry Farm has added new menu items, including a mango icy with chamoy and tahine. Yeah. This is what we were talking about earlier. Knott's Berry Farm has added 3 sweet treats to its offerings. The Hangtime Milkshake pays homage to the new roller coaster that David described earlier and John has actually ridden, and its serving theme. It is made with blue soft serve ice cream and a sugar cookie. You can find it at Coaster's Ooh. Diner in the Boardwalk area for $6.59.
I love blue flavor.
Right? It's a blue. Yeah, there's no. It's just blue. Soft
it's probably sugar. Tastes just like the Shamrock Shake.
Right. Oh. Like chalk.
Yum.
Another option is the new Mango Chamoy Icy. It begins with mango icy drizzled with chamoy sauce and toppled by a sprinkle of tahine seasoning. Brandy, explain to us what tahine seasoning is. You did a really good job with the other day.
I did. It's just delicious is what it is. No, it's like salt and sugar and sour and spice. And it's all mixed into this powder that goes amazing on anything like fruits, vegetables. I do it on a pork roast. It's my white person version of carnitas, but it's delicious.
Huh.
In your micheladas, in just plain in your beer. Like it goes in anything.
So it's also served with a tamarindo candy straw.
Oh, that's what I can't wait for.
You can find it at the Frozen Lemonade Cart next to Montezuma's Revenge in Fiesta Village for $5.79. Chamoy refers to a variety of savory sauces and condiments in Mexican cuisine made from pickled fruit. Chamoy may range from a liquid to a paste consistency, and typically its flavor is flavor is salty, sweet, sour, and spiced with chilies. Also, if you're feeling hungry, there's a dulce de leche churro bite. The handmade chunks of churro are served with dulce de leche dipping cream, and you can find them at the Gourmet Churro Factory in Ghost Town for $6.59. Now, once we've had 4th of July and we've celebrated our summer, as we get towards the end of summer, we are going to gear up. Disneyland is offering its last summer hurrah. You can save up to 30% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Explore room savings available at all three Disneyland Resort hotels most Sundays through Thursdays nights from August 5th through September 27th, 2018. At Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa, save up to 25% on standard rooms and up to 30% on premium rooms. At the Disneyland Hotel, you can save up to 20% on standard rooms and up to 25% on premium rooms. And at the Redheaded Stepchild, Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel, you can save up to 10% on standard and premium rooms. And all of these rooms and packages can be booked by contacting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis. So, again, some summer offerings coming up. David, I saw you making some notes there. Does that sound
I was looking at weekends in August.
Sounds like this is pretty good deals. I mean, save up to 25%, that's not bad.
No.
And finally we have John with his story. And John, tell us all about Six Flags being rated the number one theme park in the country.
I will, Chris. Okay. Six Flags Parks and Coasters voted the best by USA Today readers. Six Flags Entertainment Corporation, the world's largest regional theme park company and the largest operator of water parks in North America, ranks as the best of the best among USA Today readers in 2018. After your weeks of online voting, nine of the Magic Mountains in Los Angeles winning the coveted, nine of the company's parks and coasters made the list of the top 10 in the country, with Six Flags Magic Mountain in Los Angeles winning the coveted Best Amusement Park Award for Roller Coaster in the USA. Noted for its renowned collection of world-class coasters, the Valencia, California theme park boasts 19 roller coasters, more than any other theme park on the planet. So in Mars, they might have a...
Mars has 20. Six Flags. Yeah. Six Flags. It will. Venus has.
Yeah.
I was going to go another one.
Full Throttle, Tatsu.
Something compared to Six Flags.
So two of the Magic Mountain sister parks, Six Flags Great Adventure, located in Jackson, New Jersey, and Six Flags Fiesta Texas, located in San Antonio, ranked third and fifth, respectively, as America's best theme parks. Nominees for all categories are chosen by a panel which includes a combination of editors from USA Today, travel experts, and theme park industry experts.
By the way, nobody asked us. I just like to point that out. We are theme park fans and experts.
I know. Well,
maybe it's all those... unsaved calls we don't answer.
Oh, that's right. Scam likely.
Yeah.
For more information on Six Flags Magic Mountain, visit www.sixflags.com/magic-mountain.
All right. So I'm not sure how to quite feel about this. David, you got anything for us?
Well, in terms of roller coasters, it's amazing. We drove by at Six Flags Magic Mountain yesterday, and we were talking about how I remember being a kid and Colossus was the huge roller coaster.
Colossus was huge, yeah.
Now we had a hard time finding it. Because it's buried in all of these other bigger roller coasters. And I thought, our girls are the age where they're tall enough to go and have a good time. Because there was a period when I was 13 or 14 where I liked it better than Disneyland.
Yeah,
I just thought it was the best place ever.
Yeah.
And then the three-hour waits and the pat-downs and the metal detectors. And I'm like, all right, I'm going back to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right. But I remember that when it got out of nowhere in the 90s.
They had a couple of shootings there and like gang trouble.
Yeah.
And so they really cracked down. And I remember getting...
I mean, in terms of the best theme park in the country, though, I don't know.
It's not a theme park.
Yeah, right. I was going to say that.
Totally an amusement park.
Unless your theme is roller coasters.
Yeah.
It's an amusement park. Are people really traveling from other countries to go to Six Flags or Disneyland?
I think people from in the country...
I mean, we've done a couple of Six Flags stories here, like right at, you know, Christmas time when we've been looking for content to talk about for the holidays, but I don't know that Six Flags pops up on many people's, unless you're a really big roller coaster enthusiast. I mean,
outside of California, it's a bigger deal. Because
other states have Six Flags. They don't have a Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. And in my research on the history of Disneyland, the last two major, especially this last time, the last economic downturn we had in 2008, attendance at every theme park drops and Disneyland's went up, because people who were going to go on vacation, well, we hit all the theme parks, well, we can only hit one. let's go to Disneyland.
I've been obsessed with YouTube videos about theme parks in Europe as well. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, when the economic downturn hit, a lot of the smaller regional theme parks closed, and they did it as well in America. And so, but again, that travel to the United States to go to the Disney parks either stayed the same or mm-hmm. went up from, you know, international travel. Mm-hmm. So there is something to say, but I mean, it's, here's the thing. Six Flags is not for me. There's too many hills. It's too hot. It's a lot of concrete, and I'm going to be 40 in a couple of years. So I don't know how many, you know, death defying zero G, roller coasters I can take in my life anymore.
Come on, Chris.
I do like roller coasters. Don't get me wrong. I do like roller coasters. I love roller coasters, but
last night we were driving by and I said, I'm going to take the girls there in September, maybe October. I'm not going during the summer because they built it like 3 feet from the surface of the sun. It's
yeah.
Where is it located? What city?
It's in Valencia.
But it's that little, it's in a little valley. And so it just doesn't get a lot of wind.
And
I've never been there.
Oh, really? It's a lot of fun. Those roller coasters are a blast.
Yeah, there are times. I mean, there's some really fun roller coasters and things to do there.
When I was a kid, I was terrified of roller coasters. I went with my friends and I didn't want to go on Revolution because it went upside down and you could fall out and die. And they had like, they weren't kid roller coasters, but they were like beginner roller coasters. And so I went on one of those and I like worked my way up and then I was spinning upside down and loving it.
We used to go to Six Flags in high school. They had physics day. And so you would go with, you know, the science classes and you could do physics experiments or you could go on roller coasters. I'll give you a guess which one we did.
Do they have like beer and stuff?
Well, we were in high school. We brought our own beer.
No, I don't mean for physics. I meant like just for people attending.
Yeah, they sell alcohol in the parks.
There's booze. Oh, yeah. There's booze juice.
There's booze, just like any other theme park.
Aren't they a part of Busch Gardens? Is that?
No. SeaWorld was part of Busch Gardens at one point. Yeah. But, you know, it's fun. I haven't been in years and years. And the interesting history about Six Flags is that Six Flags was actually built as part of the development of, that area in Valencia. So there was that housing development and they needed like an attraction to bring people out to Valencia to see what the heck was going on out there. And, so Six Flags was part of that development. And now that whole area has just kind of exploded. So, best theme park. I don't know. Best amusement park.
If you like roller coasters.
Yeah, if you like roller coasters.
And hills.
And being really hot.
Do they still have Bugs Bunny as their...
They do, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. It's still part of their...
Yeah, see, I don't understand why Knott's doesn't upgrade from Peanuts and Six Flags doesn't upgrade from Bugs Bunny.
But see, apparently people love Peanuts. Like, they absolutely... I've seen it on those Knott's Berry Farm forums that were part of... They love the Peanuts. So, I mean, you know, everybody's got something different. You know, not everybody loves the Disney characters.
And it's nostalgia, too.
Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, those old Warner Brothers cartoons.
It's like, why don't they get rid of the Midwest flair there? No.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's their history.
So is Peanuts.
No, they adopted it so that they could compete with Disneyland.
But it's now.
So that is going to do it for park hopping. All right, guys, we're going to move on to our final segment, and that is our discussion. So, okay, if you've been listening to the show for a while, when we first started, you may have noticed that we made a joke. Actually, Brandy made a joke.
It wasn't a joke.
And turns out Brandy was not kidding, that we should do a show or a segment about our favorite bathrooms. Well, it's summertime. We have spent a lot of time trying to dig through stories, and there's not a lot happening right now. So here we are. We brought in David today, and he's going to actually give us a little bit of bathroom history for the theme parks. And I'm way more excited about this than I should be. So we're going to see where this goes and how much editing I have to do later on. So to kick us off on our favorite bathrooms in the theme park segment is author of Skipper Stories and Disney historian David Marley. David, what do you got for us?
Thank you. And I've never been introduced in a segment about bathrooms before as an expert. So I'm very excited to be bathroom expert.
We do number one time.
We do what we get.
Right? My first time. So we know Disneyland wanted to be different and awesome from the very beginning. But Disneyland was so different from anything that had come before it that there was still a lot of old-timey theme park stuff put in there that Walt didn't like. Like, they had already built the bathrooms, and I believe it was a day or two before the park opened. Might have been the day before the park opened. Walt went into one of the restrooms on Main Street and noticed that there were some of the bathrooms were free, and some of them had little locks on them, and you would put in a dime, and it would unlock. And Walt wanted to know, what was this? He's like, well, everybody does this. If you want a really clean toilet, you pay 10 cents. And the other ones are free, and you know they're not going to be as clean. And Walt said, I want those removed immediately, that every bathroom is going to be spotless, like if you'd paid a quarter for it.
And that seems like his style. Like, right? No, that's
super hardcore Walt. Yeah. You could see, like, well, everybody, you got to pay more for a clean toilet, which
I'd also like to encourage you to not give them any ideas now.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that, yeah, there'll be bathroom fast passes coming
Michael
soon.
Eisner never heard of that idea.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But to me, that shows you the quality that Walt wanted, that even the bathrooms are going to be nice. Yeah. And I think it's something a lot of parks, a lot of restaurants don't put enough thought into. And Disneyland has always been fantastic at that.
There was a time, not so much recently. I don't know if you've been in the parks recently. They've cut back on a lot of staffing, but there was a time, even when we worked there, you know, 15 years ago, where, not in a literal sense, but you could eat off the bathroom floors. Like, you knew that those bathrooms were getting, take every 15, 20 minutes.
Yes.
Somebody was going in, somebody was taking care of the bathrooms. They were just, Disneyland has always had the cleanest, and they still do to a large extent. I think some of that attention to detail has gone away a little bit, but I never knew that. That's such an interesting fact.
I don't know if you know, custodians get paid more if you work in the bathrooms.
Yeah, they get paid a premium too.
One time when I had applied to work there, I want Jungle Cruise. They're like, janitors, and you get extra 50 cents if you agree to clean bathrooms. And I said, no, thank you. But but you're right. They're usually stunningly clean.
They're usually clean, and any graffiti or anything like that gets removed before it's over.
Who would graffiti in Disneyland? Oh, wait, the Disneyland gangs.
we keep referencing the Disneyland gangs. Yeah, they gotta mark their territory. You know, the magical wizards, or I don't know, whatever. Okay, so continuing on in this discussion, Brandis, what are your favorite theme park bathrooms?
Okay, so I only know of the best bathrooms in Knott's and Universal. So you guys will have to fill in the rest. So at Knott's, here's the thing. The worst one right at the entrance, like, huge line, always disgusting. There's always someone in there cleaning it, but because it's so busy, it's always disgusting.
This is the one that's right in Ghost Town, right?
Yeah. Yes. Right at the entrance. So what you want to do, head to Camp Snoopy and buy the little green roller coaster. What is it? Timber...
I don't know.
You're doing this to mess with me today.
I forget.
Little green coaster in...
We had this discussion last time when we couldn't remember what the name of that roller coaster was.
Little green coaster in Camp Snoopy. Go behind it. First of all, I do want to throw in there, on your way to this bathroom, there is a room there for nursing mothers, or pumping mothers. So, or even if you just want to give your baby a bottle in a quiet spot, but it's really nicely set up with a rocking chair and changing table and curtains. So... just throw that out there. But you head past that, around the corner to the little green roller coaster. There is a bathroom nobody seems to know about. So it is always empty.
Always.
Yeah, I've only seen other people in there like a couple times.
Is it fairly clean for being empty?
Sometimes when you go there in the morning, they forgot to clean it the night before because it is so unknown that one doesn't get cleaned often. So it is pretty clean, but sometimes you get there in the morning and you can see they didn't clean it the night before. But I mean, if you have to really go, or you have a kid that really has to go, nobody knows of those bathrooms.
Which is strange, because if you think about it, that's the only bathroom in Camp Snoopy, isn't it?
No, there's one underneath the Grizzly, Creek Lodge.
By the, airplanes.
Oh, you're right. Snoopy's... little
yeah,
world.
And that one gets pretty. Right. There's always crying kids in there. Kids getting changed.
That's where I got scared on Halloween Haunt.
Yeah,
it got me
right
there, right out of the bathroom.
That's pretty good. And most people don't even know about it because that little green coaster is kind of hidden itself. We went there how many times when we got our passes before we discovered it?
Oh, many.
So it's really hidden. So that's my favorite bathroom, just because you will always get in there. You'll have privacy. Usually it's clean, but not always.
You can also get there quicker if you go down that little bridge and through that tunnel.
Yeah, so you go down the bridge, through the tunnel, and then make a right.
Yeah.
And then another right.
And then
that's that back corner of the park where you can see Beach Boulevard and all of
that's
the
right,
park
yeah.
behind it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a magical land there. Magical land.
Yeah, it's a little less immersive in that area.
Right. Okay, and then going on, what is your Universal Studios bathroom?
Okay, there's going to be two. The first one being Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. And the reason being, if you're a Harry Potter fan, you go in the bathroom and it's Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. So like, I can't explain how important that is unless you're a Harry Potter fan and you've seen the books and movies.
Tell us about what are your thoughts on Moaning Myrtle's bathroom?
Like the movies, it's number two.
That wins.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, the next one is next to that Irish pub.
Oh, okay.
And the reason being is most theme parks don't have mirrors in their bathrooms. And as a girl, that really bugs me, especially if you go on a water ride. You want to make sure you don't have like mascara streaming down one side of your face, but there's no mirrors anywhere. That one has a full-length mirror.
I will say, I almost appreciate them not having mirrors in theme park bathrooms, because whenever I go to a mirror or I go to a theme park and I see myself after about 6 or 7 hours of being in the theme park, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? There's no coming back from this.
So, Disneyland does. All their bathrooms do.
Yeah, Disneyland does.
Because I like to stop and do poses. Mm-hmm. While I'm washing my hands, I'm like, check out the guns. I'm like, that's right.
I'm going to say, right. As a woman, a couple of the bathrooms I went in, I swear they didn't have mirrors, or if they did, they were hidden.
David, what you have to do is if you're at somewhere like Knott's that doesn't have them, you just look in the reflection of the, what is that, the dry hand blower thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like steel, where it makes you look like Shrek?
Yeah. So you could try, you know.
All right. Good to know.
So those are your picks for favorite bathrooms.
Yes.
So recap again, your number one at Knott's Berry Farm is?
Right around, so you go down the down the stairs, across the bridge, into the cave, turn right, and then turn right.
Okay. And then at Universal Studios?
Moaning Myrtle, which is in the Harry Potter section, of course, and then the one by the Irish pub.
All right, great. John, do you have any favorite bathrooms in the parks?
I don't use bathrooms at parks. And that's actually to circle back around to something we talked about in the beginning. The thing that sucks the most about going to parks with kids is you have to take them in there, because I think they just bother me. Even if they're clean, they're not clean. They're not really clean. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't have a preference. I'm happy that hers is quick and easy. That's great, because it doesn't take a long time waiting. And you know how like it takes forever for women to use the restroom, it seems like. So it kind of cuts at least half that in time in half. But I don't know. I don't really know of any bathroom places. I'm not a frequent.
You're not a connoisseur.
I'm not a connoisseur.
He doesn't drink as much water as I do.
David, do you have any opinions on your favorite bathrooms or the best bathrooms, we'll say, at Disneyland?
I have two. And I have a friend who has who told me his butt has not touched a public toilet in like 30 years. And
he hovers?
I don't know. I didn't ask. Didn't ask a follow-up. I just let that go. But the Disneyland bathrooms are always stunningly clean. I had to bring my kids into a lot of them, and it's the only place where I'm like, oh, Disneyland bathroom, it'll be
a
nice.
Little bit safer.
Yeah, and they are. They're really nice. So I have two favorite ones. The one, when you first enter Disneyland, when you go through the right tunnel, right, there's a men's room right off to the end, a women's room right off, it's right by the berm. For some reason, that one doesn't get a lot of visitors.
You're talking about the one by City Hall or?
Opposite City Hall.
Okay.
Right,
not
Lincoln?
The one in City Hall. I never go to the one in City Hall. Right. It's behind Mr. Lincoln. Yeah. Like as soon as you walk through the tunnel, there's a little gift kiosk.
To your right side.
Go right in there. That one's good. And then this sounds really bad because I'm so narrowly focused in my life, but I like the Adventureland bathroom.
It's an adventure.
It is. And I remember, being a cast member and using the bathroom that was in there, but for cast members, and there was a door and you could hear all this noise. And I go, oh, that's the guests right through the door. And then I found out up through the 70s, that door was open. It was just like a saloon kind of swinging door. Where you had to clock in was actually in where now is the bathroom. And so cast members, if you were late, they said you would run through the Adventureland bathroom for guests and push through the swinging doors and clock in so you weren't late. But that one I like.
I like the Adventureland bathroom because it also functions as a bathroom for Frontierland. But that's got the best theming, right? It's just it's Adventureland. It's got the wallpaper. That's the bamboo and
the one other thing is Disneyland is awesome at having lots of stalls. I mean, there's never much of a wait for men. Sorry, ladies, but it always has the only one that I ever have I see like a crowd out and that can be messy because it's kind of crowded is the one near the Frontierland New Orleans Square train station. That one's usually really crowded.
Oh yeah, I use that one.
That's the one I don't care for. But normally,
and we'll hang on to that because we're going to do our what we consider the worst bathrooms in the parks right after we're done with this. So, I'm going to go for my two selections, they're not necessarily what you would call the best bathrooms, but I think they're the best hidden bathrooms. So for me, in terms of the best hidden bathroom in the park, it is one that people don't know a lot about. And this is the bathroom. If you go into the Tiki Room, Lanai, and you go up the stairs towards the entrance of the Tiki Room, and there is one stall for men and one stall for women. And if you go up to the entrance of the Tiki Room with a double door swing out and they yell aloha, to your left is a men's room and a women's room. And from what I, and David, maybe you can correct me, this is kind of a holdover from the whole Tiki Room as a restaurant thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That it was designed, so this was designed to be the restroom that functioned for the rest, for the Tiki Room when it was originally being designed as a dining establishment.
Yep.
And so it just stayed in the plans. And that is actually a really cool bathroom. Nobody ever knows that it's there. Now they do. But it's always super clean and it's always, you know, really unoccupied because it's really hidden. So again, up the stairs to the entrance of the Tiki Room and then just off to the left is one, it's one stall for men and one stall for women.
I have a story about that for Skipper Stories 2. I had a trainee and I was, it was the day where we're teaching them how to run the Tiki Room and I couldn't find one of my two trainees. I'm like, where is he? Where is he? And then someone goes, there's a guy in the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom and he was in there. I'm like, yeah, you're, when you work at Disney, you're not allowed to go to the bathroom where guests are. You're, you know, and he didn't get it at all. He didn't last long.
Oh.
But I had to pee. I'm like, okay, there's places we can go to the bathroom where we're not taking a space from paying guests.
Right.
And he's then, at Knott's now.
He currently works at Six Flags.
Using the bathroom at Knott's.
Yes.
Across the bridge, through the tunnel.
Orange County Fair.
My other favorite bathroom is, and this is another one that's a little bit bigger, but it's also hidden more. It's hidden away from guests, and so it's not very busy often. And it's if you go towards the back of the park, towards the Hungry Bear, and now that that area has been revamped, there used to be a set of stairs that led down, but now it's just a ramp that goes in the pathway along the Rivers of America. But underneath the Hungry Bear restaurant is the Bear's Lair, or you know, it's a large restroom underneath. It's in the shade. You can, if you're waiting for someone, you can wait in the shade. It's out of the way. It's usually nice and cool down there, and it's usually pretty clean and not very busy.
Oh, that's the one we were at when that's we went.
Right, yeah. Exactly. David,
I have one for the whole resort. Can I ruin it for myself?
Go for it.
And all your listeners.
But sure.
If they're listening to this show, they deserve the finest in bathrooms. My absolute favorites are both in the Grand Californian.
Yes.
There's one right by Whitewater Snacks and the pool. That's a great restroom, men's and women's restrooms there. And then there's one also just offside the lobby. So if I'm in downtown Disney, I'll run into that.
That Whitewater Snacks was the definite runner-up because that is definitely hidden. Unless you're going to Whitewater Snacks, nobody knows that that's there.
It is always clean within an inch of its life. It is so nice.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask a question. Is your guys' preference like clean, easy bathroom, or is it like single person bathrooms? Because some people like, you know, their own privacy, like away from it. Isn't there one in Tom Sawyer Island that is just a one person bathroom?
There's one on Tom Sawyer's Island. There's also one, if you go to California Adventure, there's a companion restroom. Right as you pass Grizzly River Run and you make your way over to where the Little Mermaid is, right there on the, to the left of the men's and women's main restrooms, there's a single stall, big companion restroom that's over there. As long as the restrooms are clean and relatively unoccupied, I don't have a preference.
I hate the one person restrooms. Those are directly from Satan himself.
Why?
I don't know.
Holds in smells for one thing.
Oh. Okay.
Well, then there's always a line of people waiting. Where at least if there's multiple stalls,
they judge you when you come out, depending on how long.
No, it's just why I hate like McDonald's, because McDonald's always has one bathroom and
they never have enough.
Well, McDonald's doesn't want you using their bathroom.
Exactly. And it's always like a room that's like 20 by 20, and then there's a toilet in the far corner, and it's always kind of dirty. And because if you only have one toilet, it's hard to get in there and clean it. Mm-hmm. Where if you go to Disney, you will notice if there's a lot of stalls, there's almost always a cast member in there cleaning one of them. So they're always being cycled through, always being cleaned.
There's a one person bathroom, you also got that where people keep trying to open the door, even if you
exactly. I need a calm space.
And what gets me is when the door's locked and they try to open the door, they see it's locked and then they knock.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, somebody's in here. Why are you knocking?
So do you say
you're not helping?
Someone's in here, or do you?
No,
just, like,
I just ignore them and let them try the door handle again.
I always yell, "Mom!" That's my go-to thing.
All right. So my best bathrooms are the hidden bathrooms in the Tiki Room by the Tiki Room entrance, and the bathrooms located underneath the Hungry Bear next to the Rivers of America. Both of those are great. They're clean. The one by the Hungry Bear is never very busy. And we're going to transition to, and David, you already kind of alluded to your least favorite. What are your least favorite bathrooms in the parks? David, we'll start with you.
It was the aforementioned one right by the train station for New Orleans Square and New Orleans Square. That's right.
Train station. Frontier. Yeah, by the train station.
Yeah. Because it's just incredibly busy. There's always a lot of people there. And
there's always a line, even for the men's room.
Even for the men's room, which is just, what is this, Russia? And so that's my least favorite, but still, it's better than most other theme parks bathroom I've been to.
My least favorite at Disneyland is the Tomorrowland bathrooms. There is always, it's just in the corner. It's in the back by Space Mountain. As you exit Space Mountain, there's always an odor back there. They can never get rid of.
It's the odor of Eastside.
That's right.
Yeah, Eastside and failure.
But
inside Disney joke.
The Disney joke. But it's always busy. There's never enough waiting room outside. They've tried painting it. They've tried cleaning it. They've tried doing all kinds of different things to it. It is my least favorite bathroom, and I will avoid that bathroom like the plague if I have to. Brandis, do you have least favorite bathrooms at Monster Universal?
For Universal, when you get off of the tour. Because first of all, you're standing in line for that tour for 1 to 2 hours. You're on the tour for an hour. And like we've discussed many times, there's plenty to drink at Universal. So when you get off of there, you're ready to burst, but so is everyone else. So it is the longest line for a bathroom in Universal. And it's the dirtiest because the more busy a bathroom is, the less clean it is. And yeah, it's just that one. I will go up those 3 escalators or whatever it is and almost pee myself to get to any other bathroom than that one. In Knott's, it's right at the start of Ghost Town Alive near the exit entrance area. It's just Ghost Town, sorry. Because for some reason, that's the most visible bathroom. So that one, every time I've been in there, there is somebody cleaning it. I've never not seen an employee. I think they just station an employee constantly to clean it, but it's so busy that it's always dirty and the line is always out the door.
They should have outhouses at Knott's Berry Farm.
They should.
Real dig a pit. There it is. Welcome to the 1800s.
My least favorite bathroom at Knott's Berry Farm is the one, and I don't even know if it's there anymore. That yours definitely ranks up there on high on my list, but my least favorite one is the one that's directly outside the exit out of the back porch of Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant. It faces Ghost Town. It's on your way out of the park. It's right on the back end of all of the gift shops. So it's the bathroom and then it's the fence for Ghost Town. And that bathroom is outside and it's never clean and it always is just really, really busy and it just...
Is that the one by Bigfoot Rapids?
No. It's outside the park.
Oh, outside the park.
Yeah, it's outside the park. Like as you exit outside the...
John, you didn't talk about the bathroom that's hidden. Outside the park, outside Knott, sorry to interrupt you. You just reminded me there's this awesome bathroom.
Oh, yeah. It's like between like the, okay, so it's like on that little walkway where there's Mrs. Knott's and all the food places. And there's an atrium. Is that what that's called? You go in there and there's.
Oh, yeah, where the rock garden is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty, good one. It's hidden.
It's really humid in there.
Yeah, it's really warm. It's always like 80. It's like, I feel like Florida in there.
But yeah, it's the bathroom to use if you need to go and can't wait to get into a clean bathroom in the park.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So that was relatively painless. I'd like to thank you guys for participating in our discussion. Yes, David.
Can I share one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
Edit this out if you don't want. I don't know where I learned this, but it's true. If you're looking for the cleanest toilet in a bathroom, like if there's a bunch of stalls, you pick the toilet closest to the door. It is always the cleanest because people tend to use the one farthest away from the door, so it gets the most use. So if you pick the one that's nearest, and I read that somewhere years ago, and you can check it out. The ones that look like a bomb went off, they're always farther away. And the ones closest to the door that people think get a lot of traction, always the cleanest.
That's funny, because I read something similar that it's whichever one you're thinking of using is the one everyone else is thinking of using. So go against your instinct.
Yes.
So that's what I do when I go in a public bathroom. I start heading in. I'm like, nope, and turn around and go to the one I wasn't going to use.
The closest to the door, yeah.
So there you have it. That's our discussion on our favorite and our least favorite bathrooms in the parks. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, Dr. David Marley, for giving us that special perspective. I never knew that about the the pay toilets in amusement parks back in the 50s.
Yeah. So. They were gone by the time the park opened. Walt had them all taken off. Yeah.
All right. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram, VLPodcast, our Twitter, @vacationlandshow. You can also email us at vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure to rate and subscribe the show. Also, make sure to visit our YouTube channel by searching the Vacationland Podcast. And you can find our latest video with Karen Fan and I checking out Splitsville Luxury Lanes Bowling at Downtown Disney. Alrighty, guys. So that will do it for our show. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacationland. We'll see you next time.